We may ask, do we kick off tomorrow? Do we kick off next week? Do we kick off? Well, officially we start today. All right? Officially we start today. And you're wondering why our Pastor Kenny isn't here. Well, he's in Malaysia. He's not on holiday. He's not actually on holiday. He's there with Thank You, and also Pastor Ken is also there. They are attending a pastor's retreat that starts tomorrow and goes through, I think, until Wednesday or Thursday. So do remember them in your prayers, because they are precious, and they will be back hopefully by the following Monday week. Okay, so that's where they are. Anyway, 40 days of living the Word. Today's sermon is we kick off. There are 7 sermons in the series. And today we are talking about meditating on the Word constantly. Meditating on the Word constantly. Do any of you remember what our memory verse is supposed to be for this year? Joshua 1:8-9. Thank you. If you haven't started memorizing Joshua 1:8-9, but you know me, we'll start from verse 7. All right. Sorry about this, folks. We'll start from verse 7. Because as I said before, I think we need to start from verse 7, because verse 7 comes before verse 8. So, verse 7, and I'm reading from the New American, "Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses commands you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go." This was the command that God spoke to Joshua as he and the nation of Israel stood on the edge of entering the promised land. We did this last year. We started this time last year. And that was the reminder. God said, "Josh, be strong and very courageous." And then he said, "Be careful to do according to some of the law." No, he didn't say that, did he? He said, do according to, what's that three-letter word? All the law. Don't turn to the right or to the left. In other words, keep a straight path. Why? So that you may have success wherever you go. My friends, I know it was specific for Joshua, but for each one of us, if you want success in your life, I put it to you that God's command stays the same. If you want success, you need to do all according to all that the law commands. You say, "I'm not under law." True. But you are under the instruction of God, and that hasn't changed. Verse 8, "This book, Josh, of the law shall not depart from your mouth." In other words, the law of the Word of God needed to be spoken by, thought of by, kept by Joshua. And he has to meditate on it day and night. And that's going to be the text for this morning. You shall meditate on it day and night. Again, the question, why? That you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then, and that's another interesting word, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. It is conditional. My friends, it is conditional. Be careful to do. Now you say to me, hang on a minute, meditate day and night. Joshua was a man of action. I think I see our Joshua here. He was here just now. Oh yeah, there he is. I know Joshua is a man of action too. Our Joshua is a man of action too. Joshua was a man of action. We know that. So he wasn't just sitting there every day, 24 hours a day, going, that's interesting. That's really interesting. So that's not what Scripture means. That's not the implication of what the Hebrew means for day and night. But it does mean that everything that Joshua did and everything that the people of Israel had to do was to be subjected and put under the law of God. It was subjected and submitted to the law. And I want you to think about this one very carefully. If Joshua was told that he had to do according to everything that was done in the book of the law, and at that time it was five books, the first five books, how much more for us as believers now that we have the complete revelation of Christ? How much more does this apply to us? You shall meditate upon it day and night. Psalm 1 says very much the same thing. The man who is blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on the law of the Lord he meditates day and night. Same phrase. Same phrase, my friends. And this person who is blessed becomes like a tree that's planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not prosper. And in all that he does, he prospers. There's something about meditation that is extremely challenging and extremely important for us as believers. So what is Christian meditation, if you want to put it that way? Because if we look at it, everybody talks about meditation nowadays. From the secular person to various religions, they talk of meditation. In my time when I was growing up, there was something called transcendental meditation. This guru. All right, and there have been plenty of gurus around. But what is meditation? Let me put it to you first before we say what is meditation, what it is not, and we'll do two things. Christian meditation is not allowing your mind to go blank. Some people teach us nowadays, you know, let your mind go blank. Go to your favorite place. Have you ever heard that phraseology? Go to your favorite place, be it a beach, be it a mountaintop in your imagination, and wait for something or someone to come and impress something upon your mind. That is not what the Scripture is talking about. That is not what the Scriptures are talking about. Meditation, Christian meditation, some people say it's only for a favored few. You need that special revelation. You need to be like Daniel, you know, walk with his feet off the air as he sails through. Do you do that, Daniel? Okay. I think Grace says I've got a different opinion of Daniel here, but you know, it's not that sort of special thing. It's not if you have a special gift. These are things that are not. The word comes, hagah. It means to meditate, to matter, to study, to speak, among other things. It also means to groan. And there are also some scriptures you can look at it. This will be available if you can't write all this down because I know there are a couple of scriptures there. But it implies, for us as believers, it implies a careful, unrushed, prayerful and serious thought about the Word of God. That's what it means in its wording. A careful, unrushed, prayerful, and serious thought. In other words, when you practice Christian meditation, you need your Bible with you. And I would suggest you need one other thing. You need the Holy, you need the Holy Spirit, but you also need a journal. But you need your Bible. Not unless you got this wonderful memory, which not many of us do. No, you can remember everything from Genesis right through to Revelation. You need this in front of you. Meditation, as Campbell MacAlpine has spoken about, has said, it is the devotional practice of pondering, considering, and reflecting on a verse or verses of Scripture with a receptive heart. Your heart needs to be willing to receive, to allow the Holy Spirit, like what we sang about, to allow the Holy Spirit to take the written word and to apply that word into your life, into your inner being. Jeremiah, the prophet, said this, "Your words were found, O Lord, and I ate them. And your words became a joy and delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts." Eating the words of God. And when you eat the words, it becomes a joy and delight. Because then you are feasting. So it's inwardly receiving the Word of God, illustrated by that thing of eating. You know, I don't know about you. Some people I know eat very fast. I was told when I was young by my parents, "Son, chew. Chew on your food." Meditation. There is another word that is associated with meditation. It's the same root that comes from it. It's called mastication. How many of you know what mastication means? To masticate. Thank you, Debbie. To slowly chew. You know, have you ever seen a cow? Have you ever looked at a cow carefully? You know, the cow stands there and you're, and he chews ever so slowly. And that's what mastication is, chewing. Another phrase is eating, chewing on the curd. You're chewing. Ezekiel, the Lord approached Ezekiel and he gave him a scroll. And he said, "Son of man, eat this scroll and fill your stomach with it." And Ezekiel said, "I ate it. And it was in my mouth as sweet as honey." Now you go, "It's fine. Yeah, of course the word of God is sweet. It's good." But when you read the scripture, on that scroll, it wasn't very nice, the words. There were woes, there were troubles, there were not nice words, and Ezekiel didn't want to eat it at first. The Lord said, "Eat." And when he ate it, it became like honey. Sometimes when you study the Word of God, when you look at the Word of God, it's not going to be nice. It's going to prick. It's going to trouble you. It's going to upset you. And sometimes you're going to look at it and go, "I don't think I want to read this. Surely it applies to Nigel. Doesn't apply to me." Surely it applies to the pastors. Doesn't apply to me. But when you chew it, when you eat it, it will become sweet as honey. The other thing in meditation or with any study of the word of the Lord is to search for Christ. All scripture points to Christ because we need, as we've been saying, to feed on him. It is feeding on Christ. We sang about that just now. Living bread. Living bread. Living word. Some people will say to you that meditation is so that we can get a better understanding of Scripture. But the real purpose is not fulfilled until we not only feed, but we allow the Word through the Holy Spirit to penetrate right into our lives, right in that sword of the Spirit cutting into the innermost parts of our lives. So where do you start? Where do you start? How do you start? Why should we start? For that, we need to look at a couple of scriptures. So you don't have your Bibles. Have your Bibles ready. Have your Bibles open because we need to go through this and you need to look at it. The first that we're going to look at is Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 23. Reading from the ESV this time. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight and keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. A couple of points come out of this one. One of them is that we need to find those words that are being spoken to us. But first point is this, and I apologize for these slides. I put them as a table and I had to change them. The first thing is be attentive to my words. Be attentive. In other words, when you choose to meditate or you choose to come and study, concentration is required. Concentration is required. You need to apply your mind. Students, you know this, because if you don't apply your mind to what you study, unless you're one of those very exceptional ones, and I had a friend who drove me absolutely nuts when I was in boarding school in sixth form, and he used to say to me, Randall, why are you studying? And I said, because I don't remember. If I don't study, I cannot remember the things. And he said, I don't have a problem with it. He didn't. He was one of those annoying people who just needed to listen to the lecturer and just remembered everything. And when in the UK in those days, exams was in summer, all right? So in spring and in the lead up to exam time, the sun was shining, the birds were singing, the skies were blue, and the rest of us were all locked up in our rooms trying to study. And he was out there in the sunshine watching cricket. And I used to go absolutely nuts with him anyway, be attentive, all right? Concentration is required. The second one is incline your ear to my sayings. In other words, you need to listen. You need to incline your ears. You must be willing to listen. Listen and be open to what God will say to you in whatever way he chooses to say it. He may say it through the scripture, but he may sometimes speak to you in a slightly different way, coming out of your meditation on the word. The third thing is let them not escape from your sight. In other words, focus is needed. You need to focus. You need to keep God's word continually before your eyes. You need to focus in on the word of God. Mind, eyes, ears, and the fourth aspect is the thing that beats within you and keeps you sitting up and walking and talking and moving, your heart. Keep them within your heart with all vigilance. Be alert, but the heart is the place of conviction. The heart is also, unfortunately, the place where doubts can arise. And the heart is the place where faith, based on the living word of God, can conquer. When we live by this, when we choose to live with our minds, ears, eyes, and heart centered upon the word of God and remain vigilant, we will be, like Jeremiah said, a tree that is planted by water, that sends out its roots by the stream, and it does not fear when the heat comes, for its leaves remain green. We had a 40-degree the first time this year on Friday. I'm sure all of you didn't, all of you went out into the sun and said, wow, this is great. No? Some of you didn't. Some of you, I know, were in your aircon shady rooms. But we had some trees and plants that leaves went brown. Okay, yes, that probably means we didn't water them very much. But, you know, when the heat comes, most leaves and plants sometimes get seared, they wither. But this tree, leaves remain green, and it's not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Can I say this to each and every one of you, my friends? You may not have experienced it, but in every Christian, at some point, there will be a time of drought. There will be a time of dryness. There will be a time when the river may seem to run dry. But as some of us used to sing, although the river is cracked and dry, if that's where you are, Lord, then in the river I will remain. Martin Smith sang that. Those of you who know Delirious will know what it means. To sing that when you are in the river, in the time of drought, this tree that is anchored on the word of God remains fruitful. The fruit is for the blessing of others, my friends. And that's part of the reason why you're prosperous and you are blessed, because it enables you to bless others. I do not propose to spend time on Luke 24 because we do not have time today. I would suggest that you read it yourself. But this is the Emmaus story. And it gives us another indication of how you start meditation. The first one there in Psalms talks of our attitude and our motives. To set everything, our mind, our eyes, our ears, our heart, everything, to say, Lord, I will. Luke 24 on the Emmaus Road talks a different way. But one of the aspects, very briefly, is this. I'll just leave this part with you. It is sitting with the Lord. It says when Jesus sat down with them. Meditation starts with a restful waiting upon the Lord. Those of you who know goldfish bowls, or those things that, you know, and you, one of the last things you do is shake a goldfish bowl up and down, because then all the sand starts to get churned up. And many of us, our lives are like that, churned. But we need to settle. And you need to make a conscious effort. Somebody said, so how much time do I spend in meditation? I'll put it to you, it's not 2 minutes, nor is it 1 minute. Some people have said that you start with a minimum of 15 minutes consciously seeking the Lord through the Word. So we're going to jump this part. Reading and hearing the Word is important. You need to read the Scriptures. We need to hear the Word, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. Meditation is also important, because meditating, as I said, is chewing, is masticating, is chewing on the cud. It is going over that Scripture over and over again. And as you do so, it begins to deepen the impression and fasten the truth in our memory, and it will set your heart and your mind at work. All right? Meditating takes time. What I want to spend a bit of time is from this. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 8 to 17, and Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 to 31. There's a lot, but a couple of things in this. This is the story about the nation of Israel when they grumbled before the Lord. Actually, they grumbled not to the Lord, they grumbled to Moses, first and foremost. And Moses said, why are you grumbling to me? You're actually grumbling against the Lord. But the promise that God says to Moses in Exodus 16, verse 4, is the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And then he goes on. First part. God made a promise to Moses and to the people. Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. Now, question. When you hear the word bread, what do you think of? What sort of bread do you think of? What's your concept of bread? Croissant? French loaf? Multigrain? White bread? Anybody? Huh? Okay, you think of bread, right? You think of a loaf. You think of something, right? You think of either a long loaf, strange loaves, whatever. You think of a loaf. So God said, I will rain. So now think about it. You're the Israelite there going, bread. He's going to give me bread. Wow. Bread. Now in Deuteronomy 11, in the parallel passage, God also says that the land you are entering in to possess is a land of hills and valleys. It drinks water from the rain of heaven. And you go, okay, that's nice, rain from heaven, different. And then, and you read on in Exodus 16, because Moses tells the people, this is going to happen, God said it, this is going to happen. And then he says in verse 12, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you will know that I am the Lord your God. Great. God's going to move. God's going to work. And then verse 13 says, he talks about the quails, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. And when the layer of dew evaporated, behold, on the surface of the wilderness, there was a fine flake-like thing flying as the frost on the ground. There was a fine flake-like thing. The authorized version says there was a small round thing on the ground. And then verse 15 is very telling because the sons of Israel saw it and they said to one another, "What is it? What is it?" Because it sure didn't look like bread. And then Moses says, "This is the bread that the Lord is supplying. This is the bread that the Lord is supplying." God will supply what we need. So when you meditate, my friends, when you seek the Lord, know this: God is true to His promises. He will meet you if you want to meet Him. But His provision may come to you like a surprise. It may come like a fine flake-like thing. And you may be thinking, "I'm going to get a croissant. I'm going to get a French loaf. I'm going to get this massive loaf of bread." And all you're going to get is a small flake-like thing. Now, some of you, when you start to meditate, and all of us, I'm like this as much as you will be, is that when you start to meditate, you will look at some of the scriptures in these 40 days and you will go, "That was exciting. Not, I have no idea what those two verses were all about." Earlier this week, some of us were having a discussion, and that was the statement that was made. How do you meditate on two verses that says, "And the whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness"? What can I get out of that? So sometimes meditation, my friends, will not give you this blinding revelation in a few minutes of study. You have to be patient. Like the nation of Israel was told, they had to be patient. They had to go and accumulate and collect the small flake-like things. As I said, one translation puts it as a small round thing that looked like a raindrop. Those of you who have been caught in rain will know this. Elijah had a similar situation with his servant. He prophesied there was going to rain. And then his servant went up the mountain and said, "Nothing, no cloud." Elijah, "Don't know what you're saying, no cloud." Elijah said, "Go, look again." Seven times the servant went. Seven times. And then he saw a cloud like the fist of a man. Small cloud. But that became a mighty cloud of rain. Sometimes it is the thing that we need to take and accumulate, because the small drops of rain become a deluge, then a stream, then a river, and then the ocean. Don't get discouraged when you're waiting on God and when you're meditating. Over these 40 days, it's going to take time. It's going to take practice. It's going to take concentration and a willingness to persist. God said to the people, the land you're going into, the land that we were told when we moved from the church building to here, it's not like the land. This place is not like the land that we left. It is not like the land of Egypt. The land that you are going into is a land of hills and valleys. It's a land of ups and downs. But it will drink water from the rain of heaven. Egypt was flat. And they were able to cultivate there. But God says, the land in which I am taking you to It's the land that I will supply you with, and I will meet all your needs. Things are no longer going to be the same when you choose to meditate. Our inspiration will come not from below, not from Egypt, but our inspiration will come from the Lord and the Lord alone. This is God's way. Rain from heaven, not rain supplied by the Nile. There is a difference. The question is, are we prepared to meditate? Are we prepared to dig? Are we prepared to study? The another thing that was told to them in this passage, and do read it, but please read it by yourselves. It says the people had to go out and gather a day's portion every day. And anyway, the Lord adds this really fascinating phrase, that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instruction or in my law. Not the pastor's law, by the way, not the pastor's instruction, but his law. The people had to go. Some of them gathered much, some of them gathered little. They had to do it day by day by day. The only exception was the Shabbat, Sunday, the day of rest. But on the day before, they had enough. They were told to gather for the next day too. And what we're going to do through these 40 days, we are suggesting and proposing to each and every one of us, including ourselves, that you do the devotions for 5 days. We are not asking you to do it for 6 days. We are asking you to do it for 5 days and then to have a weekend break. Because we know it takes time. It takes time. And if you're not used to it, it takes time. Lot here. Spiritual strength depends on regular feeding. They had to go out. They had to discipline themselves, go out, collect, go out, collect. If they didn't go out, they didn't get anything. The food didn't come to them. They had to go and gather. There's a lesson there. They had to gather at a certain rate too. A steady diet, my friends, is far more healthy than varying amounts of food every day. Up, down, and it is a test. That last phrase down there is maybe a bit controversial to some of you, but I put it there. The food that you will get does not necessarily come from your teachers or pastors. Yes, the teaching is important. Yes, God gives us teachers and pastors. But no shepherd can truly give sheep grass from himself. He needs to masticate it himself. But what a shepherd does is to lead the sheep to where the grass is. And the sheep then need to eat the grass. Have you ever thought about it that way? Pastor Kenny cannot shove it down your throats. He will try. I will try. But if we have not learned ourselves to digest it, it doesn't work. You have to learn how to eat too. Trust me, you have to. That's the blessing of the body of Christ. It talks of the life that each one of you has, passing that life on to another person, the one next to you. That's the concept of living stones. That's the concept of the family of God. So 40 days. 40 days. We are not doing this because we want to torture you, okay? The pastoral team is not doing this to torture you for 40 days. We don't want to do it. But the intention of what we are doing is to aid all of us, whether you are a brand new believer of 24 hours or 3 months or 1 year, or whether you've been walking with the Lord for a gazillion years. All of us continue to need to grow in the Lord. All of us needs to improve in our faith walk. And that's the intention of this. We're going to look through the first 2 weeks will be on Joshua verses 8 and 9. And then after that, for the remaining 5 weeks, you'll be doing the book of James. So if you have not got a start on it, start reading. All right. The memory verse is Joshua, 8 to 9. Sorry, that's me again, 7 to 9. And what we are asking all of us, including me, the pastoral team, every one of us, is this: a couple of S's, sacrifice, to sacrifice at least one life distraction for the next 40 days. Social media. Maybe you want to give up your phone. And that's going to be a challenge, not just for the young ones, but for some of us. When I was on the Indian Pacific train, this time going through the Nullarbor, I realized how dependent I was on internet. And suddenly I went, I cannot access anything. And then I suddenly thought, this is really great because I can't hear from Pastor Kenny. Except when we passed through places where there was internet, and suddenly my phone went bing, 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 bing. And I thought, small mercies. Small mercies. Sacrifice, say to the Lord that you want to try our motives, our heart. Say, spend time. We are using a method called HEAR, and I'll come to that one. But the other thing that I've added an S there is study and meditate on the scriptures. Study and meditate. Serve God and share. We launched our small groups recently, and yes, I realize it's a bit of a mess at the moment. It's chaotic. But it's fun, because like the valley of dry bones, I've always said this, is that when the dry bones come together and the Spirit of the Lord breathes, there's a noise, because the bones only goes, I'm not next to the right bone. I need to find the right bone. And the bones need to find the right bone before the flesh comes on it. So that's why there's a noise in the valley, am I right? Because the bones are all going clack, 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 clack. Where's the right bone? Where's the thigh bone? Where's the ankle bone? Where's the whatever bone? You know, you're finding the bones. But share what you've been experiencing. Share what the Lord's saying to you. The impressions. Because you know something? When you share, it blesses the other person. You may not think it's really great. You may think it's bleh. But it blesses people. So share. Be part of the small groups. Here is just one method, all right? It's something that we have found useful. There are so many methods out there. The ones that I took you through earlier, it's different, all right? Here is the one we are saying, let's you try it for the 40 days. It stands for highlight, explain, apply, and respond. But I just wanted to point out the second point. Each of these four action steps contributes to creating an atmosphere to hear God speak. God does not want us to sit back and wait for Him to drop some truth into our laps. We need to actively pursue God. I put it to you, and that's meditation. In one word. Matthew 7:7 says, keep asking and it will be given to you. Keep searching and you will find. Keep knocking. and the door will be open to you. There's a persistence required in our walk and in our inquiry. Before reading a scripture, pause to sincerely ask God to speak to you. Seek His guidance. That's why you need the Bible. Seek His guidance. Make this your prayer. Open my eyes to see wonderful things in your word. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, by the way, if you have never studied it, it's a beautiful psalm on meditation and on looking at the word of God. Make this your prayer. Open my eyes, Lord, to see wonderful things in your word. Some of us have been going through a series of walking together and going to the scriptures. And I don't know, and I think for some, most of us who are going through that, we would find that that has been extremely encouraging, looking and thinking about God's word. This will be available to you, this whole thing. So to highlight, I put in there in my own mischievous way here. To highlight, you need to hear first. But highlight the scriptures. Explain what the scriptures. Read it and go, okay, so this is verse 5. What does verse 4 say? What does verse 6 say? What does the rest of the chapter say? Ask those sort of questions. Look, and then apply, and then respond. This is an example of what week 6 is going to be look like. This year, as I said, last year when we started these 40 days, we gave you devotions for every day. This year, you're going to find that we're not giving you devotions for every day. And everybody goes, oh no. We're giving you a weekly devotion, and then we are giving you scriptures for each day. So like this, okay? James, first day one, you get James 1, verses 5 to 12. Day 2, you get verses 12 to 18 and so on. And you get a title. And that title, can I say to you, may not mean very much. You may look at it and go, yeah, lack of wisdom. Remain steadfast under trial. Accepting the word. Doing the word. Let me say, that's a suggestion. You are perfectly free to put in your own title. All right, you're perfectly free to put in your title. But what we're encouraging you to do is to look at those verses and think of something for yourself. If you don't know, ask your small group leader. I'm looking at some of them who's looking over his shoulder at the moment. But each one, that's the whole point, all right? That's the whole point of it, each one. And there will be a link that's provided for a devotional song to help you, all right? Find a room, find a quiet place that you can be. Somebody I know last time in the UK, his quiet place was next to a printing press, which is not exactly the quietest of places, but he found because nobody else could disturb him, and he could speak in tongues if he wanted to at the top of his voice when he wanted to praise the Lord, and nobody disturbed him because that was his quiet place, okay? But find your quiet place. Go to your room, wherever. So that's what is going to happen. Oh, yes, acknowledgements. I just want to do this. I just stuck this right here and together. Yeah. This is what the hard copy is going to look like. It's got font size 12 for those of you like me who can't need bigger font sizes. But it's compiled and it's not the work of one person. I just want to acknowledge the writers, Andrew and Colleen. Over there, Daniel, Samuel Tan, who's somewhere there hiding, Pastor Kenny. The translations in Mandarin were done by Cindy, John is not here today, is he? And Cindy? No. Serene did a lot of checking and proofreading. The songs were done. Actually, Grace Lam has also been involved in doing some writing. I only discovered the other night, and suddenly I went, oh, really? Because my brain had switched off by then. The songs were done by a multitude of people. Louis, Daniel, Grace, Alan, Charlie and Zoe, Serene, Elvina, Fiona, and Anthony Zhang. And you're going, who's Anthony Zhang? He's on the Mandarin side, because they went and selected songs that were in Mandarin for the Mandarin congregations. These graphics were done by Grace Zhang. Grace. Not here. Somewhere. There. I know she was working until midnight or something. Compilations were done by Chin. And if I've missed out anybody, I apologize. But this is part of the body of Christ at work. All right? Because this is the contribution of each and every one to encourage the body of Christ. We need to draw this to an end. But I want to thank them. And perhaps, my friends, can you also thank them later? All right. Final thought. At which point the band can come up if you want. The team. Sorry, Louis, I know it's comfortable. What the intention is of these 40 days. It's not meant for you to get bored. It's not meant to be something to me grit your teeth. You see, most of us, when we get up, we brush our teeth. Emphasis on the word most. Some of us, yeah, all right, never mind. But most of us brush our teeth. I hope. If not, the dentist will really love it. But anyway, it's routine, it's boring, it's dull, because how many of you get excited about brushing your teeth in the morning? I see no hands. Okay, fine. But seeking time with the Lord, seeking to meditate on God's word, it's meant to be like the meeting of two lovers. How many of you are in love? Nobody. Those wives and husbands, you better have a word with your spouse. Those of you who are engaged, maybe you have a word with one another. But I actually expect, and I would have liked every one of you who know the Lord to put up your hand. Because that's what being in love is. Do you love the Lord? I'm not trying to make you feel guilty, all right? But that's what God wants. He longs to meet with us. In the Exodus passage, God actually says to the people, I have heard your grumbling, and that's the context of it. But he says, draw near to me. So in spite of their grumbling, he said, draw near to me. I am your God. And that's, it's exciting. And two lovers. Without embarrassing Carol, I'm going to be in trouble after this. But I want to say this, so you can say I'm wrong, you can complain to Pastor Kenny about Pastor Randall saying this thing. I actually still get excited by looking at her. Calm down, folks. Anyway, back on track, all right? Back on track here. It's meant to be the Tula. Go and read the Song of Solomon. Go and read the Song of Solomon. You know, there's this wonderful picture about the lover coming, he's leaping and bounding over the hills and valleys. He's looking for his beloved. He's looking through the houses. He's looking through the street. He's looking. And that's a picture of Jesus looking for us sometimes, going, I want to be with you. And meditation is part of that. Falling in love. So it's not meant to be routine. It's not meant to be routine. So finally, and this is finally, fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right. Think about the things that are pure and lovely and dwell on the fine good things in others. Think about all that you can praise God for and be glad about. Keep putting into practice all that you learned from me, and this was Paul saying this, and saw me doing, and the God of peace will be with you. This was Paul writing to the church at Philippi. But that's the thing of meditation, for meditation will require a response and an outcome. Put into practice what the word of the Lord is saying to you over these 40 days. Put it into practice. Praise God. Give thanks. And the God of peace will be with you always.
Shall we stand?